We have been talking about being fruitful and multiplying. A few weeks ago, we talked about it being an expectation of God for man to be fruitful and to multiply. And I remember we said that God is so serious about your fruitfulness because it's the first thing that he gave priority to when you were first created. The first thing he says to you is be fruitful. And we said that there's spiritual fruit and then there is the physical fruit. We said that everything that you have got inside you, every one of us has got a seed of God inside them that is waiting to be brought forth. The next week we talked about how to be fruitful. And I remember we talked about being close to God as one of the ways to be fruitful. We finished off last week and really did not finish off. That's why we have to continue today at the place where we learned that the only way to be fruitful is to abide, to stay in. And we talked about 9:1:1, which is Psalms chapter 91 verse 1. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say that to be able to be fruitful, you will need to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, which means living in there, dwelling in there, staying in there. I want us to read a story and then we will pray. If you want to go to the next one, Mark, the book of Mark, chapter number 11, beginning from verse number 12. The Bible says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off from the leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I want us to skip to verse number 20. The Bible says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the tree and the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Let us pray. Abba Father, we come to you to honor you. We thank you for your faithfulness. This morning as we come to sit at your feet, we pray that you will speak to us. We are expectant. We are hungry to hear from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I love to be the pastor for this church. I passionately love it. And I love it because we are a church of real people. Amen. We are so real. When we are struggling, we are bold enough to say, we don't speak Christianese here. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. The Lord is good. When you know that you're struggling, I love what Brother Aaron said before he started worship. He said, man, it's a hard morning for me. That is why I love being a pastor for Rhema, because we are real here. Do you know who else had bad mornings? Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he comes into Jerusalem, and as he's entering Jerusalem on this donkey, the Bible says he suddenly stops, and the Bible says that he cries because of Jerusalem. He mourns, it pains his heart, it breaks his heart that Jerusalem has closed out their source, who is God. He says, how long, Jerusalem, will I gather you like a chicken gathers the chicks, the young ones of chicken? He says, he cries out. But then he comes into the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says that it's very late. So he decides to look around, and there's no people to minister to. And I love God for that, because the Bible says he looks around and there's no people there. The heart of Jesus is a heart that goes for people. When he comes to a place, he says, where is the people? Every time somebody, you know the way people have this weird, you know, misguided thoughts about Wyoming? They think Wyoming is a bad place, and every time you tell people you live in Wyoming, they're like, why? There's nothing there. And my answer is simple. There's people there. Because that is the heart of the Christ. When Christ comes to Jerusalem and there's no people, the Bible says that he goes to Bethany. He stays the night in Bethany. And then in the morning when he's coming back, remember that the last thought on the heart of Jesus as he's going to bed is how Jerusalem is messed up. That is the cry of his heart. That's the cry of his soul. So he's had this heavy heart the whole night. He probably did not sleep that whole night, thinking about Jerusalem. Bitterness and anger inside his heart. Pain inside his heart, because he was crying for this city. This would have been city of God, city of David. He's crying for it. And then he wakes up in the morning and they don't have any breakfast. Talk about a bad morning. So he walks, and the Bible says that he's going, then he sees a tree. And from a distance, the Bible says in the book of Matthew that this was a leafy tree, that it had leaves all around it. That from a distance, it was like, there is health right there. It looks healthy. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, we're going to do a detour. We're going to have to get breakfast first before we continue with the journey. So the Bible says that he turns around and goes to this tree. And the Bible says happily he could find some fruit on it. I want to announce in this church that Jesus Christ, when he comes towards a tree, he's not looking for leaves. Children of God, you can fool everyone with the leaves. You can look all healthy on the outside, but the real thing is what the master is looking for. The Bible says that he comes to the tree and is not confused because it's leafy. He says, I am looking for one thing, and that is fruitfulness. I'm looking for fruit. When he looks at us, it is not, man, this guy sings so greatly. He must be fruitful because he sings. He must be wonderful because he preaches the sermon. Jesus Christ is not fooled by all the leaves. He comes to look for the fruit. Because remember, he said that they will know you by the kind of fruit that you're giving forth. The world will know you. They will understand who you are by the kind of fruit that is coming forth. Last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And we said those ones, you cannot fake them. You can't fake being patient. You can't fake love. You can't fake long suffering. These are things that will manifest inside you because you are dwelling with God, and people will start seeing the fruit. They will not be fooled by the leaves around. When I come here and get this microphone and jump up and down and do all the craziness, but I'm not showing you legitimate love, you can be able to tell, I do not see the fruit. If I'm the loudest of preachers in town and I shout by at the end of my voice, but if there is no fruit that is coming forth, you will be able to say, you know, it is great that he knows all that he knows, but there is no manifestation of the love. The fruit is what Jesus Christ is looking for. He's not going to be fooled by the leaves. That is why we ought to be a Christian, a body of Christ that is not just leafy. That is not just, you know, I am a Christian and we wear these shirts that say Jesus saves. But deep inside us, there is no fruitfulness. Because Jesus Christ is not going to be confused by the cross on your shirt. Or the cross that you're wearing in your neck. He's going to come to look for fruit. So he comes and he's trying to find breakfast. He's hungry. He sees this tree. He goes to it, and the Bible says that he finds out that there's no tree on it. He looks at the tree, and the Bible says, I love this part. He says, he answered to the tree, Because the tree was speaking. Ah. He speaks. The Bible says he answered the tree. He goes looking and then he answers. He speaks to an inanimate object, answering back to it. Because Jesus Christ would hear the tree explaining why it does not have the fruit. I have a feeling that the tree was saying, it's not the season of the figs yet. The tree is like, why are you coming to me now? It is not my time yet. I am not bold enough yet. I am not educated enough yet. I do not have the skills of people yet. I do not understand the Bible as much as I should. The Bible says that the tree is speaking back. How often do we speak back to God? How often do we, when he comes to us looking for fruit, do we explain to him why we do not have the fruit? We have got every reason. And when Jesus Christ looks at us, we say that because the first thing that he tells man is be fruitful and multiply, he's so serious about fruit that he's not going to come around and joke with you when you're not fruitful. He says, I'm going to find fruit because that is the standard of judgment. The first thing he says is be fruitful. And then he's going to watch for the fruit. When he comes and there is no fruit, he takes that seriously. We talked the other week about when the Bible says that he's the husbandman. He shows up and he says, we've been tilling this tree for a whole year. It has not borne any fruit. And then the man says, no, let us leave it for a few years. For 1 year, for 3 years, they had tilled it. They had cultivated it and it didn't bear fruit. When he shows up and he says, where is the fruit? He says, cut it down. And then the husbandman says, no, let us give it 1 year. If it does not bear fruit, we will cut it down. Jesus is that serious about fruitfulness in the body. He says, I want to see the fruit. I want to see the fruit. When he comes to the tree, he says, I am looking for fruit. And to continue there, where the direction we are not going, but I'd like to just point out because Aaron started very well this morning. Praise God for you, sir. Jesus Christ is having this rough morning. He doesn't find fruit. And then he shows up at church and he finds people doing business. The guy is having a rough morning. The Lord is. He takes a whip. The Bible says he lays it in on them. He starts turning the tables and, you know, he's just having a rough morning. I feel good because for some reason I kind of identify with Jesus this way. Before my coffee, man, I turn tables. He hadn't had his coffee. He goes to church and the Bible says that he says, this shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Not a den of thieves. That is what the church of God is. But that's not the direction we are going today. We are still talking about fruitfulness. How do we, I'm going to make this as short as possible because of time. How do we stayed yesterday, last week we stopped at abide. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming to every one of us. Because the moment he created you with potential inside you to give forth fruit. You know, you are a Windows computer that has come installed with the software to give forth. So you come pre-installed with the software. It is inside you to give fruit. How do you manifest that fruit is what we are going to talk about today. So the potential is already inside you, every single one of us. There is something in this world that will never be done if you do not do it. There is something in this world that will never be done to its fullest if you do not do it. You have got a place to contribute just as your fingerprint is unique. The call on your life is unique. We said a few weeks ago that you cannot go trying to judge people by the standard of your installation. Your Windows 2.0, you can't be judging 2.1 to behave like you. There is a fruit of God inside you that needs to come forth, but it has to be you. You have to understand you. You have to understand, what am I created to be, so that you can start living your purpose. How do we become fruitful? I want us to go to the book of John where we stopped last week. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15 is where we stopped. last week. I apologize for the people who were not here last week. If you go on our website, you'll find the rest of what you missed. Amen. And come next week because you might miss others. John chapter number 15. I'll read from verse number 1. The Bible says, I'm going to read this very fast, but then we're going to break it down. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and it that it might bring forth more fruit. Remember again how Jesus Christ is. Remember his verbiage when he's talking about fruitfulness. He says, if you don't bear, you're cut off. It is just that simple with God. Because that's the standard from Genesis chapter 1. He creates man. The first thing he tells man is, I want you. This is your purpose in life. Be fruitful. So he says, every branch that doesn't bear, he cuts it off. The one that bears, he prunes it, that it may bear more. Verse number 3, he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you can do nothing without him. Come on, you don't even mean it. Say it like you believe it. Y'all just said it like a joke. It is serious. You can do absolutely nothing without God. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. He pushes it further. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. Verse number 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Again, it's repeated there. He has chosen you and ordained you for only one reason, that you may go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. How do we stay fruitful? Number one thing is, as we had stopped off last week, we talked about abiding. The only way for you to be fruitful is to abide in the vine. To abide in the vine, to remain in the vine. We talked about this last week. To remain in the vine, we say in the vine, we say that you cannot be fruitful if you are not attached to the vine. You cannot bring forth anything unless you have chosen to make Christ the center of your stay. You've made him a place where you remain. You've made him the center of your life. You have chosen, made a sober decision to choose him and have him as the center of your life. That is the key to fruitfulness. He says in this, the key to fruitfulness is abiding. If you got the next verse that I quoted up here, John chapter number 15 verse number 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So the key to be fruitful, the key to give forth whatever it is that God has put inside you, the key to making sure that you make a mark in this life, that this generation will know that as somebody somewhere lived, somebody somewhere was effective in whatever God called them to be, the key to that is when these people choose to say, I'm going to make God my center. I am going to make God a center of my family. Inside my house, I will create an altar for the Most High God. And I will bring my children around the altar every night for prayer. I will bring my children around the altar every time to worship Him. We shall choose to set aside a time when we will worship this Master. We are going to make Him the center of everything that we do. You ask my children, what is the most important thing in this life? That simple question, the answer is one. Jesus Christ is the most important thing. In fact, my daughter says the most importantest thing is Jesus. Because He is the center of everything. For us to be fruitful, we have to make Jesus the center. We have to put Him, we have to elevate His position in our lives. A young child asks the parent, Daddy, how big is God? And the dad says, very big. And he says, as big as a pig. And the dad says, bigger. And he says, as big as a horse. And the dad says, bigger than a horse. And he says, as big as an elephant. And he says, yeah, bigger than an elephant. And then the child says, I don't get it. If he's that big and my teacher says he lives in us, shouldn't he be protruding? And the answer is yes, he should be. If God is as big as he is and he lives inside of us, then he should be protruding. People should be able to see the manifestation of God and the work that he's done inside you. As you walk around, they're like, wow, that bulge, that should be God. You know, and they walk around and they're like, oh, look, that is Christ himself. He is a big God. And if he lives inside you, he has to be manifest. People have to look at you and say, you know what? I met somebody. There is something different about that man. Because God is the center of their lives. Abiding. Choose to say, I will remain in the presence of God. I will remain in the presence of God. If you have to be fruitful in this generation, if you have to leave an impact in this generation, you put Jesus Christ as the center. He is the vine. And the Bible says, without him, we the branches, we can do nothing. I wrote in your bulletin this morning that the most important revelation that would ever come to your life is your realization that you are but a branch. Because the moment you realize I am a branch, you realize that you will need. You will not just need, you will always need. Because the moment you are separated, the moment you are severed from your tree, then you are useless. And the Bible says that you risk being burnt. He says that you shall be cut off. If you're not fruitful, Jesus says you shall be cut off and then there will be a burning to happen. And remember, fruitfulness is coming as a result of abiding. So it's got nothing to do with you. It is simply about your positioning. When you choose to remain in him, you naturally bear. Because that is you becoming. The first thing that God tells man is become. I said here that if you tell a mango tree to become, it becomes, if you tell a mango seed to become, it becomes a tree and it gives mangoes. Because that is what it's created to do. All you need to do is put it in a good environment. The right humidity, the position of the seed will just make it naturally become a mango tree. So it's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with my choice to say, I'm going to remain in Christ. And as you remain in Christ, you naturally bear. You naturally become everything that you were created to become. Abide is the secret. The key to fruitfulness is your choice to abide. What is the key to abiding? Because otherwise it is hard. If we are going to say abide and we don't know what to do to abide, then that is a problem. But Jesus Christ, I love God because he has the answers. I want you to go to John chapter number 15. Should be verse number 10. Go to the next slide. Verse number 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept, the commandments of my Father, and I abide in his love. So the key to abiding, so remember, the key to fruitfulness is abiding. The key to abiding is obedience. The key to fruitfulness is abiding. My position. The key to abiding is obedience. The Bible says, I'd rather obedience over sacrifice. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot do anything with us, on us, about us, with by us, if we are not obedient. God cannot move a finger if we are not obedient. Because really, it doesn't matter. If everything he says we are going to disobey, then it doesn't matter. He wants to order your step. He wants you to wake up in the morning and he tells you, this is the direction we are going. If you follow that direction, you will automatically abide in him. And if you abide in him, you will automatically bear fruit. He says, if you obey my commands, then you will abide in me. He says, you call me master, yet you do not obey me. How am I a master? It's basically what Jesus said. How am I a master if everything I tell you to do, you are disobeying it? You see, we are all Christians. We have been saved by the grace of God. We have been saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross. We do not have to do anything to go to heaven. We just need to believe in him, right? But then as we believe in him, which means our positioning changes, we are now inside of him. We have to obey him so that we can continue with him. We have to now obey him, every instruction that he's giving us, so that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God. Disobedience will delay your fruitfulness. It will delay your fruitfulness. It will delay your blessings. Your impact in this world. The Bible says all creation eagerly awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Disobedience has kept us from manifesting, from becoming everything that we've been created to be. Yet every creation is awaiting for Sister Anne, for Brother Dan. It's waiting for that. Every creation. Man, that gives me some motivation. If I wake up in the morning and I'm like, they're waiting for me. They're just waiting for just me. You are an idea away from becoming a billionaire. Simply an idea away. Talk to Mark Zuckerberg. It was a simple idea. Talk to the person who invented the wheel. It was an idea. It was a seed that was inside him. He manifested it. And now the whole world, we literally are, I can't move. I don't have a car. Because of somebody's seed that we are celebrating. Today I'm able to talk to you because of somebody's seed that they brought forth. Somebody's fruit that we are enjoying today. Because they chose to obey. So if I am going to abide, if I'm going to make God the center of my life, if I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, I have to choose to obey his commandments. Listen, children of God, you will not obey commandments that you do not know. Uh-oh. You will not obey God if you have not trained your ear to hear him. It's this cycle. You have to tell yourself, I have to learn to start dwelling here. I have to learn to start hearing him. On Tuesday, we talked about something I had just learned that week, that we are not praying so that God hears us. We are praying so that we begin hearing. Ah, come on, don't miss it. We are not praying so God starts hearing us. We are praying so God, so we can start hearing God. Because you see, that is the key. If we can start hearing Him, then man, our lives will be so easy. Isaiah says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, herein is the way, walk ye in it. And all you'll do is like, oh, turn left, turn right, east, now jump. And you will obey, and you'll obey, and because you're obeying, you will abide. And because you're abiding, you will bear fruit. What is the key of obeying? See, it's so easy, you know, it's... What is the key to obeying? What is His command? Let's go to chapter number 15, verse number 12. The Bible says this. Go to the next one, please. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's not hard. Right? The key to fruitfulness is abiding. The key to abiding is obeying. The key to obeying is loving. Because His command is simply love. So when you're loving, you are obeying. Let me make it easy. Let me bring it home. You just got a baby. God bless you. We are so excited to have the new one in the house. God bless you so much. Praise the Lord. When you got that baby, did they give you a list of things to do? They did. Really? Was one of them, thou shalt not put your baby in the garbage disposal? Why? Why don't they give us rules like those? Because we love. We love, we cannot hurt. That is why they don't give us a list of commandments to follow. The command is simply love. In fact, Jesus Christ says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. They ask Him, what is the greatest? He says, just love. That is the greatest commandment. And if we are loving, we cannot hurt. We love God so much, we don't want to do anything to hurt Him. I love my babies so much, I will not put them in the garbage disposal. Because of simply loving them. Love, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sin. Because love simply tells you, I can't do this because I love. So the motivation, my motivation to live right is not man, he's going to get me if I don't. My motivation to live right is simply, I just love him. I'm so in love with her. I'm so in love with him. I'm so in love, I can't hurt them. And my decisions are motivated by love. This kid comes from Sunday school and very, very concerned. Looks at his dad and says, Daddy, is it true that God is just there looking at us all the time? And the dad realizes what he says here. He says, yeah, he actually doesn't take his eyes off of you. And the kid is just like, that's invasion of my privacy. How dare he? The dad realizes this because the kid is really concerned. The dad says, yeah, actually, he never takes his eyes off of you. But not because he's just looking to get you in trouble. He loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. That is the motivation. Understanding that I am loved. Understanding that I can love. The way to keep his commandment, the way to keep to be obedient is to simply love him. Once you're loving, you're obedient. Because his command is simple, love. Because if you love, then you will obey. If you obey, then you will abide. If you abide, then you will bear. Easy. Right? How do we love?
Uh-oh.
Right? I mean, we just figured out the keys to everything. We need to unlock love as well. How do we love? Because loving is what is going to make us obey. And if we are obeying, that's what is going to make us abide. And if we abide, that's what is going to make us fruitful. How do we love? I want you to go to the second one, which is the very, very last verse we're going to read today, verse number 13. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his love, his life for his friends. That is the greatest love. The greatest show of love is when you lay down your life. It's when you give up your rights. It's when you say, meaningfully, I surrender. Internationally, when you lift up your hands, they ought not shoot you. Hands up, don't shoot. It's just the international sign of I am done. And that is how you love. You lay down your life. You give up what you would call your rights. So to be fruitful, a believer has to come to a place of understanding that they do not run the show. That they are but a branch, which means you are laying down your life. You're laying down what you would think to be your rights. You're saying, you know what? I am going to forget everything that I thought I know. I want to just obey you. I want to just choose to love you. I'm just going to choose to abide in you because I can trust you with everything. When a branch starts telling the tree, I got this. And I wrote that on your bulletin. My son, he is 3 years old now. And he has this thing of telling me that he's got it. So he's trying to put on his shoe and it's morning and we are running. We're in a hurry to go to school. And he's like, can I help you with that? No, I got it, daddy. I got it. And it's like 20 minutes later, I got it. He's like, oh, he's like, I got it. And then afterwards he comes to me and he's like, I probably need help. How I pray that we as a people will come to that place where we start with, I probably need the help. Then I got this. Unfortunately, we are raised in a culture that says, I got this. And until we can lay down the fact that we are the superpower, that we are Americans, that we got this covered, that we got this under control, that we can cover it. I can take care of it. Until we come to that place where we lay down our lives, we can't be fruitful. Because that is the root. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ showed this for us when he went to the cross of Calvary. He did not have to. He went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life, gave up all rights. In fact, there's this Swahili song that we sing that he had every right to answer back, but then he chose to keep quiet. He had every right to react, yet he chose to just be still. And I do believe that you and I, it is time for us to choose to say, I'm going to lay down everything that I have. I like the words of that song. It said, would you leave? Oh no, not the Swahili one. This is the one we sang this morning. There was a line there that said, would you give up everything for the sake of what he's done on the cross? Would you, church, give up everything that you may receive Jesus? Would you give up everything that you make him the center of your life? Would you give up everything that you think was or that you think you can do, that he may do stuff within you? Jesus says, or Jesus comes to you looking for a fruit. And there's only one way, one direction to get that fruit. It's by you choosing to surrender, choosing to leave it all, lay it all down, that he may receive all the glory. Will you please stand up so we pray? the Bible says, do a self-evaluation. Check yourself against the word. And ask yourself, even if I'm giving fruit, am I giving it to the fullest? If not, then can I or am I abiding in his love as he has abided in his Father's love? Maybe we are abiding. Are we obeying for us to be able to abide? That is a tough one, but love is what will make us obey. Love is what we need to do to obey. But to love then, are we laying down our lives? In my marriage, am I laying down my life? Is that how I'm loving my husband, my wife? In my family, am I laying down my life? Because that's how you love. That is the greatest expression of love. Is surrender. It's laying it down. Because as long as I'm running the show, as long as I'm on top, then I can't be fruitful. So check yourself against the word. Abba Father, we stand before you with all these keys that you've given to us, with all this path, a simple path, a four-step plan. The first, we lay down our lives, which will make us love, which means we obey the command. And in obedience, we will abide. And if we abide, then we bear fruit. Father, we pray that today you will remind us your word over and over and over in our spirits. Find us where we are this morning, Jesus. Find us where we are that you may restore us to where we ought to be. Come to us in the place where we are this hour, this minute. Come for us that you may transition us to the place where you want us. Father, if there is anything within us that is hindering us from laying down our lives, because that's where it begins, Father, we ask that you will minister to that part first. This morning, Father, we pray that you remember us in our affliction, in our weakness, in our failure. Remember us, Father. Jesus, you say to us that if we do all this and we ask for anything, you said anything 3 times in that portion of scripture, or 2 times you said, if you ask for anything, you will get it. He says, I tell you this, that your joy may be full, that when you ask for anything, you will. So Father God, we pray that as we come to you through prayer, the Lord, you will honor and answer our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ says, as he finishes that scripture, he says this, he says, I will not call you servants anymore. I will call you my friends because I have told you the secret. I've told you the keys. You got the keys. You just graduated from being servants to friends now because I can confide in you. I can talk to you. Guys, you have the key this morning. He is your friend now. You can hang with him. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you.